All righty, good evening. I'm Dr. Lee Merritt, once an orthopedic and spinal surgeon, now your professional medical rebel. And I know people are getting a little discouraged about the way the world is, and just let me, that's why I have my little sign up there that says, war is a series of catastrophes leading to victory. And we have to remember that nothing happens quickly in a global way. So hang in there. I think we're doing okay, and I think we're making progress on all fronts. My guest tonight is Trent Luce. He's a rancher from central Nebraska, farmer rancher, and we're going to be talking about the land grab problem, because this is, if you don't own your land, if you don't have a place to grow food, to take care of yourself and to live, then it's over. Now that is a critical infrastructure that has to be preserved. And that is the basis of our liberty. So we'll be talking about that and the various different things, including the carbon capture pipeline, etc. And in the meantime, you can support this show by going to the Brightown store, use the code REBEL. And also, you can support us at themedicalrebel.com. We have a shop, and we also have a Monday night podcast that you can join, and that also helps. So thank you very much. We'll be back.
The Brighteon store understands the importance of getting all the nutrients you need to support the healthy functions of your body. Our nutrient-dense superfoods and supplements can help nourish your body and promote your optimal health and well-being. 100% customer satisfaction guarantee on all purchases. You deserve the best. Brighteonstore.com. Support this amazing platform and amazing Patriots for Humanity.
Use promo code REBEL at checkout for additional savings.
Thanks for watching Brighteon, and you can find me, Patrick Byrne, at patrickbyrne.locals.com or on Twitter.
Hi everybody, Doug Billings here, Doral, Florida, at the Trump facility, Brighteon Network, the fastest growing streaming service out there, where I'm on every Tuesday night. Make sure you head over to dougbillings.us as well. Support us over there. We are in this together. dougbillings.us and Brighteon. God bless you.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quieter suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Experts agree that cardio, muscle, and brain exercise are critical to overall health. But what if you discovered you were missing an exercise that the Surgeon General says was just as important? It's called Juvent, the first clinically proven micro-impact platform in the world. Juvent's clinically proven, patented technology discovers the right frequency of micro-impact for your body. Simply stand on it for 12 seconds and calibrates the Juvent to the uniqueness of your size and body mass.
Brought up the webpage here of the Juvent webpage so people know what we're talking about. It's a platform. It's a micro-impact platform. And I literally use it every day.
Knee pains and joint problems and back pains that they've seen resolve with using Juvent.
Hello, Brighteon. This is Samuel McGuire. I just want to tell you about my podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, and Anchor, and also Rumble. It's the Samuel McGuire Show. I also have social media on all platforms. You can check me out at Samuel C. McGuire. Thank you so much for listening to Brighteon, and I hope you listen to my show.
I'm Anna with The Flame.
I'm Nicole with The Flame.
And you can find us at theflameusa.com. Make sure to go there and subscribe to the fastest growing paper to get people out of the movable middle so we can save our country.
And thank you, Brighteon, for just having us on. We so appreciate you.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Hochsi. Men, when things hit the fan, don't be crying in the closet with your wife and daughters. They're counting on you to lead them and to be a man who's physically fit, mentally sharp, and spiritually strong. At the Hochsi Health and Wellness Center, this is what we help you become. God has given your body amazing restorative powers to heal itself. We're in the business of transforming lives naturally. We've developed an 8-point treatment regimen, which includes healthy eating, vitamins and minerals, and hormone replacement, including testosterone. Become the man God wants you to be. Our program for men will help you put a tiger back in your tank so you can protect your family during these trying times. Contact us at the Hochsi Health and Wellness Center for a complimentary wellness consultation. Get your energy back so we can take our country back.
Alrighty, I'm back. And so I'm here with Trent Luce. He's a rancher from central Nebraska, actually six generations. You got me beat by two generations. So I'm fourth generation here. And you've been trying to alert people to the problem of our energy and our land, to staying secure in our persons and liberty. And so have I to some degree. So I wanted to talk about what you think are the big threats to our... Clearly, they're trying to do a land grab. Early on with that Ohio train spill, I said, this is not what they're telling you. This isn't the catastrophe of the world. It's a land grab. Just chill out. But we got to deal with a land grab. So what do you think? What's our big risks here?
So thank you, Dr. Merritt. It's good to see you again. And apologize for being a bit tardy. One reason I'm a bit tardy, you might find interesting, that I'm in Big Timber, Montana. The Yellowstone River resides, it runs right behind me over there.
Nice.
And about 25 miles that way, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but you were talking about the Ohio train incident. Well, on Saturday morning, there the Twin Bridges Bridge collapsed while a train was crossing that bridge over the Yellowstone River. And in fact, I am going to an EPA public meeting tonight because they're going to tell the public what there is they're going to tell the public. What they do know is that there is asphalt liquid petroleum and there is molten sulfur that has been in the Yellowstone River trickling down the river. Now, the good news is dilution is always the solution. And I've been in Wyoming, Montana, 30 years traveling through this part of the country. I've never seen rivers running more full, so there's a tremendous amount of water, but still, I'm about 1 hour away from finding out what they're going to tell the public. But to your bigger point, I've spent 23 years, the past 23 years. My family came from Germany to Quincy, Illinois in 1832, and we've been taking care of land and livestock since that point in time. And 23 years ago, I decided that people were going to believe who they heard from the most when it comes to food production and energy production. And I told my wife, Kelly, I said, if we don't start telling the story, they're going to believe who they hear it from, whether it's accurate or not. Excuse me. And so that was the day that in May of 2000, I decided that I want to be a part of telling that story. And so this is my 23rd year in media and public speaking. And I've been very fortunate and actually blessed to have spoken to audiences in 48 states and in four continents about the importance of domestic food production and energy production, no matter where you're at. And as you well know, until 2020, everybody just took it for granted and they didn't care. And then all of a sudden, as a result of what happened with COVID, and that's where I first learned about you and how you were standing up to the tyranny and explaining that this is not based in science. Well, none of the food situation was based in science either, but nobody cared about it until now. And now, all of a sudden, as we continue to cripple the U.S. food and energy sector, people are beginning to ask questions. I was visiting with some folks today, a very interesting discussion with a veteran of the United States Army of 15 years and two ladies, sisters from Canada. And the veteran was in tune with everything that was going on. The two ladies from Canada had no idea that the fires in Canada were somehow tied to this land grab. And the whole the issue that comes back to the land grab's not new. I've been fighting this Endangered Species Act for years, where they want to control the land and say they're protecting the species. Well, there have been 2,390 species that listed as endangered. And since 1971, they have successfully save 12. That's a success record that nobody would even tell the story of. And that's what the U.S. government has done. And so we've got to get around the government to bring these things to the forefront.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, it goes back, and it's like what we're experiencing in medicine today, which I call disease whack-a-mole. You know, at first it's COVID, then it's going to be monkeypox, then it's Marburg, now it's malaria. You know, they keep drifting from one thing to another to confuse you, but it's all the same idea. And in this case, the land grab's been going on forever. I know the EPA stuff. Now, I remember in Arizona, it was the milk vetch. There was a weed called the milk vetch, and they used that weed in order to shut down acres and acres of recreational land. And it's a weed that you'd spray with weed spray in any other situation. But they had to, and it's not like it's rare in general, but just right there, they just make stuff up. And I see it coming with the Ohio. What do you think caused the train thing? Is there a forensic examination of this, because this can't all be by accident. We're in a multidimensional war, and I've never seen train wrecks like this. I've never seen food processing plants blow up. You know, we had four hydroxychloroquine plants blow up, and they killed the people in Canada. So I don't know what to think. It's every facet of our life is being attacked.
So there's not been time to do a forensic study yet. Yesterday I was at the site. They wouldn't let me any closer than about a half a mile, and I took some pictures, and that's why I'm very interested in the public hearing tonight. That incident happened on Saturday morning, and there was 52 cars on this train. It's a short line train, and 17 of those rail cars ended up somehow tied to the Yellowstone River and part of the incident that they're trying to correct. So we will see what they report as the cause of that particular situation. But I wanted to go back to something that you brought up, because we talk about the endangered species and everybody says, well, it's important that we save the species. Now, first of all, 99% of all species that have ever existed on Earth no longer exist. And what's happening is that we have a group of people with a lot of money and influence trying to find out if they can get the human race to be the next species that doesn't exist. That's how drastic it really is. But let's take Iowa, because I thought for a moment there you were going to insult me and say that I was an Iowa farmer instead of from Nebraska. But over that, because I think you corrected yourself. But anyway, you got Iowa on the brain. But think about what happened in Iowa, because I mowed around my mailbox the other day before I left to come to Montana, and I mowed down some milkweed. And it's a weed. It's a weed that when it's out in the crop, it's a distraction from the real crop, and farmers for years have sprayed the weed. Well, now there's an incentive program to save milkweeds because they somehow convinced us that the monarch butterfly is dependent upon the Iowa farmer milkweed in order for its existence. If you look at the science, the monarch butterfly has a severe problem surviving the Mexico winters, not the Iowa summers, and yet they are paying farmers to produce milkweed instead of through a conservation easement, which is ultimately what we're going to talk about, I think, today, and the conservation easements that are being forced upon anybody, again, in Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, along the CO2 pipeline. But people need to just ask the question, why are farmers being paid an incentive not to produce food? In the 70s, the Conservation Reserve Program came out, and it was supposedly to take challenged acres that were highly erodible, acres that maybe should have never been farmed, and put them into a set-aside program for a contract of either 7 or 10 years. Well, just 2 months ago, the USDA came out with a set-aside program where they would pay these farmers, it's called a 31 program, they would pay them 31 years not to produce food on these farms. How many times can we incentivize farmers? And the Dutch farmer gets a lot of attention. And tomorrow, happening today, actually, because they're about 8 hours ahead of us, there's a major protest of Dutch farmers. And I'll have that on one of my broadcasts tomorrow morning. People are talking about, look what they're doing to the Dutch farmer. I agree. This is a terrible thing. But they're doing the same thing in the name of 30 by 30, in the name of protecting endangered species, in the name of laying a CO2 pipeline. The endless programs that I've worked on and the challenges in order for farmers to be able to use the land to continue to produce food, fiber, and fuel for the nation and the world is unimaginable. But that's what's taking place and why we need to act today and why this conversation that you wanted to have is so vitally important.
And when you say they are taking our, they want to shut down our food production, are we talking about the Department of Agriculture? Who is actually issuing the reason I say that is, in my world, I've discovered, they wanted to shut us down as physicians mm-hmm. because we were speaking up and trying to tell you the truth. And the people that were they in that situation was the Iowa Board of Medicine. But it turns out, as I looked into it, the Iowa Board of Medicine is a subcorporation of the Iowa Department of Public Health, which is a corporation. These are not government agencies. And so there's a way to fight this. And they want us to think it's the government doing this. It's these corporations doing this. That we can fight better. I'm just wondering if that what's the situation here.
So it's done in the name of the USDA with cooperation with State Department of Agriculture. But they're taking marching orders from folks that are running the United Nations today, because the United Nations came out with this plan, quite frankly, that led to the entire debacle in the healthcare system. The United Nations working in cooperation with the World Economic Forum. And I think that we've all heard Klaus Schwab. This is not rhetoric. This is not something you just read on the internet. I have personally seen in videos Klaus Schwab saying that we need to reduce the world's population. The way that they're going to about doing that, and just to be honest, they believe that there is a catastrophic environmental occurrence coming related to sunspots. And just, the Grand Canyon was not created on a great rosy day in the middle of Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, okay? It doesn't touch New Mexico, but it wasn't created on a great day. We've had volcanoes, we've had severe Lake Tahoe. People go in and enjoy and love Lake Tahoe every summer. Lake Tahoe, if you really read the history, was a serious catastrophic event. And so these folks have got tuned into something where they see a serious catastrophic event coming obviously before 2030, because everything we hear about is by 2030, 30 by 30, 30% of the land and the water will be returned to its natural state by 2030. Those individuals are putting pressure and have gotten in the pockets of the elected officials. And the answer to all of these questions, just like you fought on the medical front, the answer is at the local entity.
Right.
We can't control this cesspool that's taking place in Washington, D.C., but we can have a role and we can play a part in what is happening. In my home state of Nebraska, I got to give kudos to then Governor Pete Ricketts, who grabbed this and he said, this is 30 by 30. It was executive order 14008 signed by Joe Biden on January 27th, 2021 said 30% of the water and 30% of the land will be returned to its natural state by 2030. Governor Pete Ricketts, he saw this as a challenge, as a threat to the human food population. He led the brigade. He said, I'm going to take this as an advocate and we're going to get people to do something about it. Over half of the 93 states in the state of Nebraska signed a resolution at the county level. The county commissioners, they said, we will not allow 30 by 30 to take place in our county. Kudos to them. We all need to focus on what's happening in the county government, the county, our local school boards, and that is where we control this and turn the tide.
And I want to show you, I think that's right on. It's county by county. I just want to show you a picture because this is so important. The other thing that they're doing, I mean, they lie to us about the science and all this stuff, but this is a perfect example that should raise the question of motive. You know, the Club of Rome in the 60s started this whole mess to try and green up the world, they claimed. But they claimed they needed to decrease CO2 to do it. And this is just a chart that shows what happens when you decrease the parts per million of CO2 in the air. And we are, you know, the pot growers in Colorado pump CO2 into their tents because they know that plants grow better at a CO2 above 700. In fact, they like it 1,200 to 1,700 parts per million. We're sitting at that bottom level. That's 461, and that plant looks almost dead. And this is from Willie Soon at Harvard. Actually, we're at 419 parts per million right now. And so I keep asking people, who or what is doing this? I mean, there is no incentive for human beings to do that, nor to decrease our food supply. I'm sure you heard John Kerry say, stop farmers from farming. That's the answer to the CO2 crisis. Stop farmers from farming. So they do want to starve us.
I did hear John Kerry say that. Fortunately, I know that a climate czar has zero authority and power, so he can just talk to himself in a closet
as long as he wants to.
But he's trying to work on... He's trying to work on people's mind and their mentality. And I absolutely love those numbers that you showed in terms of CO2. I was explaining this to a guy who's not farm related at all. And I was on his podcast. So he's a good friend of mine now. And I was telling him what you just explained. And he said, oh my goodness, that makes total sense. Now I know why my son had a CO2 machine in his pot room at school when he was growing marijuana at San Diego State
That's
University.
Exactly.
I said, yeah, exactly. But Lee,
that's what I say. And it's the Italians over in that big plastic. I think they call it the sea of plastic in Spanish or something. But the Spanish, that big area where they have everything under the tent and they pump CO2 in. So these guys know it's just the college kids are being, you know, fed a bill of craziness to go out on Earth Day and protest CO2. And that's how this whole thing takes off. They use the useful idiots. It's horrible.
So we'll get more into the pipeline, but I want to just expand upon what you just shared because it is key to everybody understanding where we're at before we go forward. We've all been convinced that greenhouse gases are destroying the planet and we must reduce our emissions of all greenhouse gases. And right now the focus is on CO2, but those greenhouse gases are nitrous oxide, methane, and CO2, carbon dioxide. Here's what nobody seems to be focused on. CO2, as you've already just explained with that tremendous graph, is responsible for plant growth. It fuels photosynthesis. Plants grow as a result. Here's another part that's not often told. As the CO2 causes the plant to grow faster, there are pores, like orifices, in those plants that open wide or small for their aspiration for where they aspire, and they let the water out. And so what happens in a layman's term is that when you have more CO2, the plant actually requires less water to do the same amount of growth. And we all know that water is a limited factor. But beyond that, CO2 is plant food, fueling photosynthesis, producing more plant growth, producing more plants. The more plants we have, the more animals we have, the more animals we have, the more people we have. That's the whole cycle of life. The animals and the people return it to the system, and we continue forward. Nitrous oxide, it's in our atmosphere at 78% of our total atmosphere. You were talking about CO2 at somewhere around 420 parts per million. Well, 78% of that atmosphere right there in Big Timber, Montana, is nitrous oxide. Nitrous oxide is also nitrogen. And we have countries around the world, including Canada, that are right now telling farmers they cannot use as much nitrogen. And when we don't use nitrogen, a key component for plant growth and a key component for building muscle in human beings, we reduce plant growth. What is methane? Methane is 90% of the natural gas that is used to heat our homes is methane. Natural gas is also used to make synthetic nitrogen for plant food. So all three greenhouse gases that the government and the world entities have had us focus on that we want to reduce our emissions of are plant food. If you're reducing the three main God-given elements of growing plants, what's the end result? Fewer plants.
Yeah.
Without plants, we don't have life. Because everything depends upon what happens in the top 6 inches of that topsoil and how much plants actually grow. The biome of the soil is just like what you're going to walk through with the biome of the gut, and how in the human being, your gut determines your metabolism, your gut determines your immune health, your gut determines everything. All of that comes back to proper gut health and keeping the bacteria working in your gut. Same thing applies in the soil. And carbon dioxide feeds the organic matter. It continues to feed the healthy biome. There's 1 billion cells, healthy organisms, in a healthy topsoil. And we're trying to eliminate the ability to have healthy topsoil. That's the bottom line and why it's dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's true. What you're saying about farming is also true about medicine, that everything they've told us is exactly backwards. And I can't help but say that, you know, I heard for years about Satanism is inversion. This can't be by accident. You know, even the blind hog gets the acorn once in a while, as they say. I think that it's not just one or two. I figured this out 20 years ago in medicine. In fact, I just sent some labs. I got some lab work done, some blood work done, and it was just picture perfect. I mean, completely you box it, as we say, right in the box. And so I sent it to my son, who's a surgeon. I said, look at this, not bad for an old broad. And he said, oh, don't give me that. He says, you obviously know something that others don't. And I said, you know what I know, and you're going to learn it too when you get into practice, when you've been in practice longer, that everything that organized medicine tells you is 180 degrees wrong. It's not just a little bit wrong. It's right. Exactly wrong. It's completely opposite of what you want to do. And this is true now in farming. It's like in everything in our life. You know, they told us don't go out in the sun. Don't get, you know, put on sunscreen, all this, you know. And I think part of this too, when they can't get us just with CO2, that I do believe they're putting this. I think everybody can see the sky and know that they're doing something of chemtrails in the sky. But I learned from Harold Kautz in Germany that part of the problem here is, this is all about wavelength too. Part of the problem is they're injecting piezoelectric crystals. The way they're putting these things out, they come out in a crystalline form. And that, what you were talking about, the plants and the pores, it makes the plants less able to absorb sunlight and less able to utilize it. And we too. So there's a multifaceted attack on our food supply here.
All I know, Lee, is I go out on a Sunday afternoon at my ranch in central Nebraska, a Sunday afternoon when I'm told that there are fewer commercial flights than ever in the United States, and I have videos of flights flying in what looks like the perfect lattice weaving you've ever seen in your life. I'm like, what the heck are y'all doing up there if you're not hauling passengers from A to Z?
If I'm wrong, somebody from the Air Force, please correct me. But that many of those flights are flying out of the Lincoln, Nebraska Air Force Reserve Base. So that's on the weekend. You should see them. That's a pretty good clue.
It is on the weekend.
The reservists are flying those.
I always see more on the weekend than I see during the week. You're absolutely right. I didn't know why. So if anybody
out there know anybody in the Air Force Reserve, you might want to suggest to them that they're killing their own children too if they're doing this. And that's one of the ways we have to get out of this is, you know, tune sine malice, do not participate in evil.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that ultimately is the greatest challenge that we have, is that many of these tricks have been applied to human races for civilizations before us. We are now at a point in time when we are just complacent as human beings. We don't understand. We talk about the Constitution that I carry in my pocket every day, Lee, but we don't understand the main component of the Constitution is that we have to be dutiful citizens to keep those representative republics in line, and we're not paying attention. We need to pay attention and get active.
Absolutely. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the carbon capture pipeline, because that's a big deal in a number of states, at least in the Midwest, and it's another excuse for a land grab. But in the meantime, when you go to the Brighton store, go use the code REBEL, and you can also support this program by going to themedicalrebel.com and joining our podcast or shopping in our shop. Thank you. We'll see you in a little bit.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at brighteonstore.com. The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
All right. And in the break, we were talking, and I was just mentioning that on my Monday night podcast this last week, we had Matt Reske of, and he's of Elevate Cultivate, or Cultivate, Elevate Cultivate. And but he was talking about electroculture. And I've been doing that in my garden, where you put up these copper antennas. They have to be over 6 feet tall. The taller, the better. And you can actually get energy from the ether, and it magnetizes and changes your soil. It sounds a little weird, but it's been well worked out. And in fact, our government actually investigated this from 1920 to 1940 and then buried it. And in Europe, they had ads to the farmers saying, don't use copper tools, don't do this, or you will produce so much food that the price of food will become worthless. So they've been kind of using, they've been discouraging possible techniques for growing more food for a very long time. And now we got the carbon capture pipeline. So as if the CO2 wasn't low enough, now it's now they want to take it lower. What are we going to do about that, Trent?
So I've been on top of this for 2 years, Lee, because I spend a lot of time in North Dakota. I do a tremendous number of broadcasts in North Dakota. The people of North Dakota are very close to me. And I just could not understand why we were taking all of the CO2 in a pipeline to North Dakota and burying it in two sites, one in Oliver County, one in Mercer County. I went to a meeting in January, a year and a half ago, And one of the geologists who was talking about this, somebody asked the question, where's this been done before? And she said, it's never been done before. They said, well, how do you know this is going to work? What's our best guess that it'll work? Well, the folks in that part of the country don't want to guess. They want to know what's going on. And so there's a lot of people in the path of the pipeline from Iowa, again, Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, a little bit, and North Dakota, who have been raising a lot of stink because they're very concerned about what is the dangers of living close to this pipeline may be. They're talking about between 2,300 and 3,000 PSI pressures per square inch. And so we don't know. It's just untold story. But my number one concern still is, why are we burying one of the most important elements of healthy living? That is the question that cannot be answered. And now, Lee, I've documented that we have some Chinese money that's coming into this project. I've documented at $600,000 with an NGO that has a direct tie to the World Economic Forum, all being funneled through Summit Carbon Corporation. I know that Summit and the owner, Bruce Rastetter, who I've known for 30 years, to be honest with you, he has 6 ethanol projects taking place in Brazil at this moment. They're all financed by the China Development Bank, which is part of the CCP. I know that Honeywell, May 15th, announced that they were going to partner with Summit Ag Group and build the world's largest ethanol plant in the Gulf of Mexico. And the purpose was to bring ethanol from the Brazilian plants to the United States and produce the new generation jet fuel from CO2. And so what I now believe, this is what I believe, I'm limited on how I can actually document this, except I can document where there's a plant in South Dakota that's going in Lake Preston, South Dakota, that is documented to be the new age, new generation of jet fuel, CO2. CO2 has so many valuable properties in today's world. In fact, many of the fake meat processes, which I shouldn't even call it fake meat, it's alternative protein substances that have nothing to do with meat, but they rely on black carbon, a product of CO2, in order to make this whole process work. So what I can tell you is happening is that we have 3 entities which are using eminent domain, which is a violation of federal law, to steal land from landowners in their paths of 3 pipelines, 3 different companies building pipelines, and they're doing it in the name of eminent domain. 87 landowners in the state of South Dakota alone have received papers saying that they're going to take their land via eminent domain because they're not compliant. And I could not be more disappointed with the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, who's campaigned last year in the governor's race as her number one agenda item. Her number one priority was property rights. And she is not standing up for the property owners of South Dakota. In fact, Lee, last week, she took property rights as one of her key components off of her website. She didn't even talk about it anymore. She gives it lip service. She did an interview this past week in Watertown, South Dakota, where she talks about property rights, but she said, oh, I'm handcuffed because the state legislators have taken all the power away from me. That's not true. Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, any governor can call a special session and say, look what's happening to these people, our constituents in South Dakota. What are we going to do to help them? She's not doing it. Governor Doug Burgum is in the pocket of Jeff Bezos from Amazon and Bill Gates. He was a vice president for Microsoft, his number one campaign contributor in his first gubernatorial race in the state of North Dakota was Bill Gates. He's now running for president of the United States. And Doug Burgum, where all of this pipeline ends up, which means he's directly tied to it, Doug Burgum spent $2.9 million in the presidential race in the last 2 weeks. That's $1.5 million more than the second person in terms of spending money and campaigning. There's a CO2 tie. It's the CO2 is just the tool, Lee, as you well know, to control land and to control people's lives. And the two factors that we have to point out that are part of this problem, because I'm picking on Kristi Noem, but I'm just telling you what's actually what I know and what's happened.
Now, my governor,
in her inaugural ball in January of this year, 2 of her 5 platinum sponsors were Summit Carbon Solutions and Poet Nutrition, and Poet Nutrition is behind the Navigator CO2 pipeline. There were 3 medical entities that you might be interested in that were also platinum sponsors for her inaugural ball, but
Let
she is
guess,
knowingly
Blue Cross, Blue Shield.
Actually, they were not, but you got to think more. Altria actually was one of them. That's not really a medical provider, but they certainly bring about medical needs. We won't go into that. But the point is that they're putting money in the pockets of these. You can't say by sponsoring the inaugural ball that they're putting money in her pocket directly, but certainly they are sponsoring her activities, which lends favor and gives leniency to what they do. And her son-in-law is involved in this plant in Lake Preston, South Dakota, that is going to be a CO2 jet fuel production facility through A1 Solutions. I mean, it's just so intertwined. It's corrupt. People need to know what's going on, and they need to demand truth and fairness for everybody.
Well, that's, and you know, the money that's going into their pockets, and they get away with it, and they don't have any hand slapped. A friend of mine was a Marine colonel, and he was a hot runner for general, right? But McDonnell Douglas offered to buy the wine for a dining in, something that's done in military officer circles forever. And they offered to buy the wine, and he went to the JAG Corps, asked if he could accept this for the good of the group, sure, not for him. And he lost his ability to become a general over that. Now, see, this is peanuts compared to what these guys do, which makes my point is that we still live in a pharaoh society. They're the elite, you know, they are the elite of the elite. And provably about 300 guys, somewhere between 150 and 300 guys, control over 85% of the corporate wealth of the world. And that's what they're doing. These are the guys doing this. They're buying up favors, and they're threatening people, and I'm sure extorting people. And this is we have an ugly control system over the world that we've got to somehow get around. So my question is that we're not going to solve this even at the governor level. I mean, my governor says she's pro-choice, and then she appointed a Planned Parenthood guy as the executive director of the medical board. So we can't even, the governors aren't even safe. At the county level, can we get the sheriffs, do you think, to stand against this? Because eminent domain cannot be done by private corporations. And you're telling me private corporations are doing this eminent domain illegally, which is totally illegal if they are. They can't do it. So can't the sheriff stand up? Can't we educate the sheriffs and have them constitutionally stand up against this? Do we see any move for that?
I don't know if you've heard the story of Jared Bosley, one of the individuals in South Dakota that I was alluding to. He's in Brown County by Aberdeen, South Dakota. He was actually arrested on contempt charges that were completely made up. He was not even home. Summit Climate Solutions, Carbon Solutions individual, a surveyor, walked in his home while his wife was in there showering, was hollering for somebody, literally walked in his home. And she then came out of the shower, called Jared, who was in a field, in a tractor, was talking to her on the phone. And I'm telling you this story because of what happened at the end of the whole situation. He was talking to her on the phone, and he said, "Honey, is there a sheriff there with them while they're there, walking in our house illegally and walking in one of his shops?" She said, "No, he's here by himself." They filed contempt of court charges against him. He was ultimately found not guilty by the judge in Brown County. And then Jared wanted to explain, because his name has been tarnished. People think that he did something illegally. He was threatening, he was intimidating, he was bullying this individual, which wasn't even true. He wasn't even home. The judge literally told him, he said, "I don't want to hear this in my court. You go to social media and clear your name." That is just unbelievable that you would hear a judge of the judicial system say that to an individual landowner and citizen in the county. And now Jared has had other incidents since then. Just within the last week, he's had a massive number of people come. He's been targeted, and he's standing up. He's not going to be bullied, and that's why they continue to go after him. But when you have that kind of bullying and absolute corruption coming into one of your constituents in your state, the governor needs to stand up and say, "No, not on my watch." Now, to your question, which was about the sheriff, we need the sheriffs to understand they are the ultimate authority in these counties. Yeah. And there are very few who are willing to take a stand and stand in front of their citizens against this federal encroachment and this federal intrusion. And we as citizens need to remind them that that's what this document says, that it's ultimately the sheriff that is going to hold these individuals accountable to the atrocities that are being brought upon the people of this nation at the county level.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, the government has figured out a way, or the oligarchs, whoever is running the show, I have my ideas, have figured out a way how to subvert the sheriffs, because they can, you know, I know Sheriff Mack, and, you know, he can go around and talk to people and teach them the principles and how to be a constitutional sheriff and stand up. And all the state does, like they did in Illinois, is they say, well, it's fine. You can support the Constitution. We're just going to take away your pension. And boom, they roll over like little girls. And I was a little girl at one time. I say that with some, sadness.
Well, but there was a silver lining in that Illinois story. Well, you're still a little girl in my eyes, Lee, if that makes you feel better. There was a silver lining in that story, in that even though the state said that, there were 39 county sheriffs that signed a resolution that they would not enact the Second Amendment encroachments upon their citizens of their county that they were being told to by state authorities. That's the kind of activity we need to see. And in Elkhart County, Indiana, there was a sheriff, Brad Rogers, who would not let the federal authorities through the FDA and in cooperation with the USDA come in and take an Amish man out that was selling products from his farm to willing buyers in his county. We need a few more examples, a lot more, like 1,000 more examples of sheriffs like that that understand. But that brings about the biggest challenge that we have. I was in California in 2021 with the Arise USA tour, and I had Sheriff Boudreaux from Tulare County who told me, he said, Trent, you know, there's a movement in California to eliminate the elected sheriff, to make it an appointed position by the governor. And in St. Louis County, Missouri, they're trying to just eliminate the county sheriff's position altogether. And I don't think people realize how dangerous these precedents are. There are the people that we call they, Lee, they understand the way we maintain our sovereignty is through the local control. And so they're coming in at every level, from the political level, through the sheriff level, through the school board. We haven't even talked about the new pandemic, which is coming to our nation's kids and confusing them on what gender they are. Instead of going to the mirror and looking down, they should be able to tell what gender they are. They're going to the internet to determine what gender they are. And that's dangerous. That's a new pandemic. Those attacks are coming to us at the local level because they, whoever they are, recognize our path to freedom and liberty continues to be at the local level.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I'm going to say something about, I'm speaking at Red Pill, speaking of who are they. And I told G. Edward Griffin wanted to know what my topic was. And I said, well, my topic was it's time to name the enemy. And I think he got a little nervous about that. And he said, ooh, maybe we should just name some individuals. I said, we're not fighting a war against Bill Gates or Fauci or something. We're fighting a war against a very serious cabal. And these guys have been around forever. And it's controlled by a very few people. And they aren't, and they own all the world's wealth. But they didn't get there because they're Wharton School graduates at the top of their class. They got there because they're all related and they practice this old religion. I mean, the problem is these guys have a control mechanism on this world that makes the mafia look like choir girls. This is the problem. And they're controlling all of our government agencies. Those judges, the judge that wouldn't say anything, they've probably either bribed him, extorted him, or threatened to kill his family. And look at that is one of the problems we have. And that's why the sheriff's, just out of curiosity, you know, by the way, that's the Robin Hood story, is that the sheriff was appointed by the king. And we didn't want that. We have to be elected by the people. But how many sheriffs are there, do you know, in the country?
I believe there's 1,036.
So 1,000, if you think about it, 1,036 people, you know, could actually bring this whole thing to a screeching halt.
Absolutely. Well, even just 800 of them.
Everything, not just the farm thing, but your transgenders, the whole bit.
Right, every bit of it. But it wouldn't take 100% of them, 80% of them. The 80-20 rule would apply here. If 80% of them would stand up, the other 20% would cower and say, I'm not going to take them on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I said during the pandemic, the so-called pandemic, when they were going down to schools and vaccinating children without their parental agreement, and they had it just setting up vaccine areas in the schools. And I said, you know, what would you guys do if somebody told you there are people down in your school, the janitor, somebody down in the local school is taking kids and killing them? You wouldn't just write to your congressman. You'd go down and do it. You'd stop this. But we're letting all this stuff happen. We're not taking direct action. And I'm not advocating that we arm up, but I think people need to take their kids out of school. They need to start realizing we're at war and they're coming after our children, and now they're coming after our land, and we're going to have to man together at the county level.
Lee, I want to do my own fact-checking for myself. I knew that didn't sound right because we have 93 counties in Nebraska. Iowa has 99 counties. There are 3,143 counties in the United States. So assuming that most of those have a sheriff, we still, the 80-20 rule would apply. It just takes 80% of those 3,143 counties to make this happen.
Still, that's a... They're a far smaller number than even, you know, orthopedic spine surgeons. You know, they're not that many of them. So they could have a disproportionate impact if they
weren't living in fear. You already said it. If they weren't living in fear.
It's not living in fear.
And the thing that you mentioned earlier that I just still can't get my mind around, which seems to be the driving force behind everything, whether it's CO2 pipelines, whether it's the medical community, it's this satanistic view that children are our toys to do with as we wish. I don't know there's anything that should inspire us more than when we hear a story about child or sex trafficking, or we hear a story about a pedophile that's been turned loose, like Kristi Noem did last year, by the way, in the state of South Dakota. When we do not have pedophiles and individuals who treat children as commodities that are not serve justice, we have a problem.
Yes, and I think I can't remember if it's Maine or Pennsylvania. I was just called by a friend and said their state is just about, and I apologize if it isn't those states. It's one of them, I believe, was going to pass a law that that children could be aborted a month after birth. You know, I mean, this is coming to you, it's coming to us, it's coming to everybody, and we should have awakened when they started putting out these arches of Baal in 1,000 cities around the world. This really is, as much as, you know, I'm a student of warfare. I mean, I read all these books. The joke was I read more books on the Marine Corps Commandant's reading list than most Marine officers years ago. But you know what? They don't tell you this. The one thing they never tell you about the people running these wars, that they are all practicing this old religion of worshiping Moloch and sacrificing children. And once we understand that, we're going to know how to deal with it. We have really, there's a way to turn this around, but it's not going to be by just voting it out. You can't vote it out when they are held in this mess.
I agree with you 100%. There's too many people here's the deal. The sheriffs can do it, but the sheriffs need support of the citizens of their counties. It comes back to what you and I talked about early on in this conversation. If we become dutiful citizens and call our sheriff and support our sheriff and let our sheriff know that we stand with them, we can make it happen. The sheriff's not going to stick his neck out, his or her neck out, and do that on their own. The system is structured so that it's a representative republic, and we need to reach out and maintain communication with these individuals that can make this happen.
Absolutely. And it's the county by county thing. We're not, like you said early on, we're not going to affect the people over there. In fact, I'm not even sure. I hate to say this on the upcoming July 4th holiday, but I think the Republic has fallen. I don't think D.C. is actually functioning at all in the way we think it is. And I think once we realize that we are on our own in our states and then in our counties, we have to take back everything locally. And that's where we have to put our efforts.
Only a drunken fool would tell you that D.C. is functioning well when they spend more than any sailor ever thought about spending on a weekend off, and I've never been a sailor, but when you continue to spend trillions more than you have the potential to gather, there's a problem, folks. Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, well, and believing that the guy that can't figure out his way off the podium should have the codes to the nuclear armaments, you know, this is worrisome beyond belief. Well
the good news in that is that if two things about that, Lee. If you were to give Biden a penny for his thoughts, you'd get change. And secondly, even if he had the codes, he wouldn't remember what they were and wouldn't be able to produce them adequately. So there's some safety in that.
Yeah, there is some safety. It's like, but the problem is when Clinton lost the codes, he lost them to the dry cleaner, probably a Chinese dry cleaner. Hey, did you tell us where we can reach you, where people can hear more about this on your program?
Loose Tales Media, LOOSTALES Media, TALE. Do not spell Loose Tales wrong on the internet. You'll end up in places like we were talking about. Loose Tales Media. And then also I do two TV shows every day. One of those is live for 30 minutes from 6:30 to 7 Central Time every morning on Beck News, BEK, Beck News. Andrew Henderson from the UK and I, we dive into these issues of the challenge to food and fuel infrastructure. It's a global issue and we have tremendous discussions. Check us out on Beck News or loosetailsmedia.com.
That's great. So you're in conjunction with Britain on doing this.
Correct. Every day. In fact, tomorrow, Jim Ferguson will be joining us and we'll have a big discussion. We'll have a live broadcast from the Dutch farmers protest in the Netherlands tomorrow morning.
Awesome. Well, I'll try and catch that. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. This was really, really helpful. And I think people are waking up to this. I think we're going to deal with it.
Yeah. Glad to see you again. I hope I see you soon in person.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you all for coming. We'll see you next week.